unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God his Father and through him ours. To him be honor and glory and everyday dominion. And what that means is that God rules our lives, doesn't he? You've heard the old bromide, 10 days late, $3 short. I'm only 30 days late, not too many dollars short. I'm real sorry about October 13th. I really am. You ever had a nightmare where you couldn't get from here to there? Well, I lived it, and it's really something. I just couldn't believe that I couldn't get from Miami to Fort Wayne, you know, but I couldn't. And so I had to give my friend, Professor Garcia, a call. You got the chapel service tomorrow. Well, I'm very happy to be here today, really am. And it's not because of your balmy tropical climate out there. You can have that. What it makes you do, of course, is appreciate what you're going back to. You sometimes take that for granted. And it's not because my November calendar needed 2 days away from home, that either. It is because it's real good to renew old acquaintances. Fellas that you confirmed that are now, you know, serving the church up a storm. Guys that you bummed around with on standing synodical boards. And I do refer to your good friend and your development man, who is now the chairman of the board, and I'm delighted to hear it, to see people that you share some very happy memories with. That's good. I'm glad to be here for that. But mainly, I'm delighted to be here because I am unshakably persuaded that there is a totally deliberate connection between a preacher product so desirable and a preacher factory, and that the implementation of pastoral ministry in any environment depends in such a tremendous measure on the process of preparation that goes on in an institution like Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. There's two reasons why I'm getting a little more acutely aware of the importance of what I just said as time marches on. One is that I hate to admit this, but I'm getting closer to the day when I will hang it up. And that day comes. As far as full responsibility ministry is concerned, that's it. That's all she wrote. And turn it over to somebody else, and I'm tremendously invested in that somebody else. And it could be you. And the second thing is that the condition of our world and our society today signals an urgency for the development of teacher pastors. You notice how I use that word, teacher hyphen pastors, who really know what they're doing and know why. And of course, grow in the how to as they wade in deeper and deeper. So when I get a chance to talk to student types who will one day soon share with those of us who are out there now the leadership of the church and the churches, I am predictably, rapidly affirmatory, and that's the opposite of negatory. And it is a joy to say, hey, right on, man. You're the one, and you're where you need to be, and you're taking dead aim of your life for the greatest cause in the world. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Taking dead aim with your life on the greatest cause and career in the world. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, take dead aim on winning God's approval. A worker with no reason to be ashamed, laying out the word of truth with no distortion. That's my translation. Make no apology for it. I like it. Take dead aim. Any of you do any marksmanship, any target practice? You know that when you're aiming at that bullseye, friend, You better blow it out. Hold real still, get those crosshairs on that target and squeeze at the right dead aim. And I mean, it'll be there when you take that telescope, sure enough, right smack dab in the middle. That's what you're doing with your life right now. I hear a lot of guys at the seminary say, oh, I can't wait to get out where the action is. The action is. The action is here. The action is now. You're aiming your life, dead aim on the target. I'm going to mix my metaphors a little bit. When in the days of the wagon train, they were heading for California. The only thing that was worse than a late wagon, maybe late by a week or two, was an empty wagon. And when you make all kinds of plans for something that is very important, but you forget some of the items on the checklist, all your eagerness to get there is extremely dampened by the fact that you forgot a couple things along the way. And here you are now in the action, but you're not ready for it. That's why that taking dead aim with your life is so important. Give you a couple examples. Guy can't wait for duck hunting season. Man, he's thinking about it for months. So he gets out there in a boat and he's in the blinds and here come the mallards. He forgot his ammunition. You don't think that happens, huh? I was out one morning hunting geese. And there they were. You ever seen a goose right on top of you? It's a sight that you dream about. So I get up out from under my cover and I raise the gun and two clicks. Forgot to put the shells in the gun. Blew it. Absolutely blew it. Checklist again. There was the action. Where was I? Now you know what I'm saying. And when you are going out to give your life as a servant of Almighty God, you better have that checklist well marked. And when the action is there, you need to be there. What does it say? This word of God that we're basing our thoughts on this morning, it says, take dead aim on winning God's approval. I'm so happy that we're very close to October 31st yet, because it is a joy to be able to say what this doesn't mean is that we have to win God's approval as the kind of human beings we are, as the kind of life, for the kind of lives that we lead, win his approval as his children, as the saints. Because there's no way in the world, and this is our heritage and this is our conviction, no way in the world we could win his approval. And that's what our good friend Martin discovered in spades when finally what the righteousness of God really is came through his noggin and into his heart, and he said, and the doors to paradise were open, and I lost a couple tons of lead from my conscience. And for the first time in my life, I knew peace. And praise God that we don't have to win his approval as human beings, as his children and as candidates for eternal life. And when we look at the cross, and there that perfect man, there that Son of God gave his life as a ransom for all, that's the approval. That's the open sesame. That's our guarantee for life now and life forever. Don't have to win God's approval as human beings. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when he becomes the center of our lives, when he's the one who now works in us, then by the power of the Holy Spirit, this his own kind of synergism takes over, and we start winning God's approval as workers. That's what it says. Take dead aim on winning God's approval. A worker. A tool that fits his hand perfectly. an instrument that blends with his skill and produces music that thrills the soul. A vehicle that responds to his every impulse. You know, when you got a good car, the one thing that really thrills you is that it does everything you want it to do. That's true of a boat, too. Everything you want it to do. Boy, you feel so good. Hey, this vehicle is really a vehicle. Does everything I want it to do. That's what we're talking about. That kind of tool, that kind of instrument, that kind of vehicle does everything God wants it to do by his grace, with his power. A worker that has no reason to be ashamed. Wow. Have you ever thought how nice it would be if prologue could be identical to epilogue? Huh? If you could say, if your name is Alexis Arguello, you know who he is? Well, I won't tell you. You're going to have to find out for yourself. He's fighting tonight with Bernie Pryor for his fourth title. Lightweight, I think, something like this. If you could say, I'm going to take him out in the fourth round. And if the epilogue said the same, but you know how many people say, I'll take him out in the fourth round, and guess who's carried out in the second round? Our good friend Howard Schnellenberger says, we're going to take Florida State. Bobby Bowden said, 21-7. Prologue doesn't always match epilogue. You say today, I'm going to be the best old pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm in the church at large. I hope someday that your epilogue matches your prologue. And there was a guy who gave an epilogue precisely to that effect. He said, I don't have anybody's blood on my hands. I am not guilty of anyone's life here. I've been tremendously successful. And I say, wow. Here's Mr. Goofoff, Saul of Tarsus, lousiest character among all the pseudo-Pharisees. And even as a child of God, turned around, he had to say, the bad I don't want to do, I end up doing. The good I'd want to do, I don't do. And he says, I don't have any blood on my hands. I've done it all. I've been eminently successful. How in the world could he say that? Well, I'll tell you how. Because it wasn't Saul of Tarsus or even St. Paul. It was Jesus Christ that was carrying on that ministry, and he knew it. I labor more abundantly than they all, but not I, but Christ who works through me. And when he goofed, he said, I'll tell you one thing I always practice. I leave it behind. I forget about yesterday. It's today. It's tomorrow. And the grace is there. And the power is there. But then he also said, and I have on my heart the burden of the churches, which means I'm ready to work my tail off to get the job done. And that's what it takes. Prologue or epilogue? You've got to let Jesus make it his ministry, not my ministry, Jesus' ministry. And you've got to let him unparalyze you and free you up with his total forgiveness for any goof. And you've got to work your head off. I want to tell you right now, anybody got any ideas for 40-hour weeks in the ministry? Go into accounting. Go into plumbing. The only way you're gonna do it, prologue or epilogue, is work. And that's not 9 to 5. Take dead aim on being the kind of worker that doesn't have anything of which to be ashamed, because you rightly divide the word of truth. That's the old wording. Who lays out the word without distortion. What will be your work as a mouthpiece for Almighty God, as a stand-in for Jesus Christ, as the so very well-fitted tool for the Holy Spirit? Your work will be to lay out the word of God. How many of you belong to AAA? AAA, no AAA members. If you take a trip, comes in handy. You go in, you're going from here to California, right? Go into AAA, she goes over, grabs the Midwest map, grabs the Southwest map, grabs the West map, lays them all out on the table, lays it right in front of you and draws that line from here out to LA or San Francisco, wherever. You can't miss it, friend, unless you're blind or stubborn or whatever your problem might be. You're gonna get to San Francisco, other things being equal. What are you going to be laying out in your ministry? You're going to be laying out the word of life, the truly human life. I get bugged by this business of, well, I'm only human. Why don't we come out and say, well, I'm only demonic? Why don't we say that? Why don't we say that? Hey, what do you expect of me? I'm only demonic. Because human was never intended to tear yourself up or gouge someone else's eye out or destroy your home or mess up your relationship. That wasn't God's idea of human. And when you lay out the word of life, it's God's kind of humanity. It's God's way of being, which starts, of course, with God's way of forgiving and God's way of renewing and God's way of charging. You lay that out, and you lay it out without distortion. Anytime you would leave an impression with somebody that he isn't all that bad and that there's still something in him that God would take into consideration for accepting him as his child or particularly as his worker, you are guilty of distortion. And anytime you leave the impression that there's someplace else where a person could turn to for justification, for acceptance and reconciliation, except the cross of Jesus Christ, you are guilty of distortion. And anytime you create the impression that the Lord Jesus Christ said to this lady taken in adultery, neither do I condemn thee, period, without at the same time saying, go and sin no more, you are guilty of distortion. And what you are taking dead aim on this morning is that when you lay out the word of life, it be God's map, it be Jesus' way, and it be the Holy Spirit's blueprint without any distortion. In Spanish, there is an expression that I like very much for when you add something to God's prescription. We call it San Coco, Saint Coconut. Forget Saint Coconut and lay out the word of life without distortion. Take dead aim, in other words, on being the kind of pastor who, when he has spoken, the person says, I have heard the word of the Lord, and I have the power of the Spirit for life. God bless you. You're where it's at. Amen.